They now lead your Raptors 9-6. One last chance for the offense in the top of the ninth inning coming momentarily from Warner Park on your home for Raptor baseball, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR.
Hey, baseball fans. Are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
At CBD American Shaman, we're here to support your journey to wellness with legal hemp-derived products. Our certified CBD consultants offer a clinical approach to meet your specific needs, whether it's easing chronic discomfort, reducing stress, or improving sleep. We're passionate educators helping you understand the benefits of hemp without the stigma. Discover the natural, legal way to a balanced life at CBD American Shaman. Visit us today and experience the difference.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Let's get back to the Raptors here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
The right-hander Davis Welch remains on the hill for the Madison Mallards. They lead it by three in the top of the ninth. Andy Ockham, your voice of the Raptors here on WFHR. Three runs put up by the Mallards in the home half of the eighth, highlighted by a two-out double, I should say, a no-out double from Blake Guerin that plated two and made it a 9-6 ball game. Sidney Ferry threw an inning and threw that eighth frame. Allowed one hit, but three earned runs. Walked five and struck out one, 39 pitches. 3-4-5, do it for the Raptors in this inning. Welch's first pitch to Jack Matthews swung on and missed for a strike. Grayson Schaefer on deck. We Trotter Boston to follow. Matthew was brought into this game in the third inning in the spot of Max McGuire. One pitch, swung on and missed. Now nothing in two. Matthew 0-for-2 in his three plate appearances tonight, a fly out to right in the third, a strikeout swing in the sixth, most recently a sack fly in that sixth run top of the seventh inning. The 0-2 from Welch, tapped on the ground, right side, Hamilton coming in on it, in and out of his glove, no play to be made. Matthew is aboard to lead off the inning. Be the second error in this one for Madison to get the leadoff runner on for Wisconsin Rapids, and it'll bring up the cleanup hitter, Grayson Schaefer. Schaefer got his first hit of the ballgame in his most recent trip into the box. A single in the seventh, scored the final of all six runs, coming in on that three-run double from Alex Brody. Boston on deck, Brody to follow. Welch set the first pitch. That one misses inside, nearly hitting Schaefer. Count begins 1-0. Guerin, the first baseman, holding on Matthew, a couple steps off the bag. Swan hit on the ground, right side, Hamilton charging in on it. The only play is to first. And the throw is there in time. 4-3 goes Schaefer for the third time tonight, advancing to second on the putout is Jack Matthew. That's where he'll stay with one down for Trotter Boston. Boston's 2-for-4 today, a base hit. To lead off the second, it was a 3-2 pitch that he took the opposite way. It was the second hit of the ballgame for the Raptors. Struck out swinging in the fourth. Another base knock that he had back in the sixth. Struck out in the seventh. Six hits for the Raptors. Six runs put up. No errors defensively. 11 hits on the Madison side. Nine runs scored for the Mallards in the opener of this two-game series. And two errors defensively. Coming in the first and now in the ninth inning. First pitch to Trotter Boston. That one's there on the outside corner for a called strike. After Brody, it'll be Jake Beauchesne. A couple steps off the second base bag is Matthew not being held. Comes the 0-1. Allen misses up and out to even up the count 1-1 on Trotter Boston. His second start at the second base position this season, he's been the everyday shortstop for the Raptors. The home opener, McIntosh was there, but an injury to Kyler drew him out of the game in the third inning, put Boston back there, and that's where he's been playing since until tonight. Welch set a couple looks back at second, the 1-1. That one bounced in there and right at the feet of the catcher Vierling. Taking third is Jack Matthew. Same thing happened to Matthew behind the plate in the bottom of the eighth. Had blocked it off the chest protector and went into the right-handed batter's box. The two runners on for Madison took second and third on him losing the baseball. So Matthew now 90 feet away at third base with one down, and Boston in the driver's seat here with a 2-1 count. Matt Brandt has grabbed a bat. He's now in the on-deck circle for the Raptors, hitting in the spot of Brody. Throwing has subsided down the line for the Raptors. It was Cannon Ristein, but a 9-6 ball game. Imagine maybe if they put up a couple runs here, it might get him back in hot early. Max Weitzel, the right-hander, is now walking down there. That's the Raptors' closer, at least it's been so far this year. 4-for-4 and save opportunity, saving all four Raptor ball games as the 2-1 pitch is there on the outside corner from Welch to even up the count at 2-2 on Trotter Boston. After Brandt's spot now in the sixth hole, it will be Jake Beauchesne. 2-2 the count, one out. Infield in regular depth for Madison, the payoff. That one misses out in the right-handed batter's box. Count draws full on Boston. For Brandt will be appearing in his fifth game of the now eight for Wisconsin Rapids this summer. Was the opening day third baseman at Hare Baker Field on Memorial Day. The 3-2. This one is tapped foul by Boston. Good fight here for the Tabor College Blue Jay in his final plate appearance of the ballgame. So again, there ended up being no stoppage in play tonight despite the rain continuing to come down, and played through it the entire way. 15 combined runs between the two teams as the 3-2 misses up and out, bounces directly off the screen behind home plate and ricochets to Vierling. So Matthew will stay put at third. 7-pitch walk drawn by Boston. He's aboard for the third time tonight, putting runners at the corners and the tying run into the batter's box with Matt Brandt. Brody's lifted after he reached twice today, including that 3-run double off the glove of the right fielder Marion in that 6-run seventh inning. Brody also drew a 4-pitch walk in the fourth. Now, with Brandt being put in, our home plate umpire Noah Hobart adding that into his scorecard. Right now, I'll do the same thing here as well. Had a couple of different changes here today. So having Onati enter in the seventh, top half of that frame, which he drew a walk and later came in to score. And a whole bunch of defensive movement to follow for Wisconsin Rapids. Brandt's the tying run, though, with one down in the inning. The first pitch is in there for a strike on Brandt, the Howard College product, and a recent Campbell commit. Had a great 2 years, hitting over 300 combined at the JUCO level. The 0-1. That one's there on the outside corner for a called strike. Quickly, nothing and two on the pinch hitter for the Raptors. Beauchesne on deck. It's McClanahan to follow, entering the bottom third of the Raptor order. 0-2 the count, one out there on the corners, 9-6 ball game. Welch set his 0-2 delivery. This one is fouled right behind Jake Beauchesne in the on-deck circle of the Raptors. Five different pitchers used by each team tonight. See, the current pitcher of record is the man out on the mound right now, Welch for Madison. The 0-2 pitch misses low. The loss for Wisconsin Rapids, if this holds, would go to Sidney Ferry. 1-2 the count with one out. Boston on first. And Matthew on third. The next delivery. That one misses high. Brandt's worked at even count at 2-2. Looking at Brandt so far this summer, a Mansfield, Texas native, is 3-for-17 having a hit in every ballgame except Waterloo back on the 29th, 2-2. Hit back to the screen, foul. Went 1-for-5 in his most recent start against Wausau on June 1st, started this road trip. Supposed to be 5 games in 6 days. Instead, it's going to turn into 4 games in 6 days with the cancellation in Mequon on Monday against the Chinooks. The 2-2 swung on and missed. Brandt down on strikes. It'll be up to Jake Beauchesne. Beauchesne tonight had 2 plate appearances in the 7th, led the inning off with a single, and later scored, ended the inning by popping out to the shortstop Schaffner on the infield. Represents the tying run here. Just need a base hit to keep the inning moving along. Welch set the first pitch to the Rafter left fielder, taken low for ball one. McClanahan, the designated hitter, is on deck. It's the third baseman Onati to follow. The 1-0 pitch coming here from Welch. Beauchesne hits this one on a line. Jumping up and making the grab is the shortstop Schaffner to end the ballgame. That thing was blistered by Jake Beauchesne. But Schaffner is able to leave his feet and make the grab to end the first of 4 straight between the Rafters and the Mallards. 9-6 the final. 6 runs on 6 hits. No errors for the Rafters. 9 runs on 11 hits. And 2 errors for the hosts and the winner of this matchup. The Rafters improved to 5-3, or I should say the Mallards improved to 5-3. The Rafters fall to 4-4. We'll be back in a couple minutes to wrap it up with our thoughts and your official Rafters postgame show live from Warner Park. You're listening to Rafters Baseball on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Rafters Baseball here on WFHR all summer long, or check us out on the Civic Media app.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the 9th inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Here we... Aww. What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
Finding your next vehicle is easy when you visit the team at 8th Street Auto in Wisconsin Rapids. The wide selection of quality used vehicles is out of the park. From cost-effective daily drivers to luxury cars that match your style, you can find the ride you've been searching for. Make a line drive over after the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters game and discover award-winning service from the professional automotive team at 8th Street Auto at 4390 8th Street South, a proud supporter of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Rafters dropped the first of 4 against the Madison Mallards back here from Warner Park in Madison. Andy Ockham, your voice of the Rafters, your official Rafters postgame show here on WFHR. The Rafters trailed this one at 1.6-0 entering the top of the 7th before scoring 6 in that frame, taking their walks, timely hitting as well. Alex Brody, a 3-run double off the glove of the right fielder Charlie Marion to tie the ball game, but the 3 runs put up in the bottom of the 7th off Sidney Ferry, the right-hander for the Rafters, who allowed 5 walks, 3 runs, and a hit in that bottom of the 8th inning. After picking up the win against Lakeshore in their most recent game on Sunday, he'll be credited with the loss tonight. The win going to Davis Welch, the right-hander out of the Madison bullpen. Looking at the starting pitchers today, Jacob Kisting, the right-hander from Bradley, got the ball for the hosts, going five innings, five shutout innings if that, allowing two hits, walking three and striking out eight, throwing 88 pitches. He has now thrown 10 scoreless innings in two starts this year for Madison. Thomas Burns was the opener for the Rafters, throwing one inning, allowing four hits, three runs, all of them earned while walking one and striking out one in 30 pitches. Nick Paulson got the bulk of the work out of the pen for the Rafters tonight, throwing four innings, allowing three hits and a run, not walking a Mallard hitter and striking out six across 58 pitches. Sam Arnold then followed Paulson for an inning in which he allowed a costly two-run homer to Justin Best. Arnold going one inning, allowing those two runs on two hits, walking one and striking out two across 29 pitches. Matthew Hurd pitched himself out of trouble in the bottom of the seventh inning, allowing one hit, walking one, striking out one at 16 pitches, and the aforementioned Ferry picking up the loss in a rough home half of the eighth inning. Offensive contributors, plenty of guys in the Rafter order reached multiple times today. Miles Vandenhoevel found himself on three times. Talked about the big hit from Alex Brody. Grayson Schaefer had a knock and came in to score as well. How about Jack Matthew? Not even on the team bus, arriving late today, getting put into the game in Max McGuire's spot in the third inning. He had a huge sack fly in that six-run seventh inning as well. Tyler McClanahan drew three walks, was 0-for-1 in four plate appearances. Mason Onati produced in both plate appearances he had off the bench in the spot of Bryson Stripling, drawing a five-pitch walk in the seventh and later scoring, and then having a sack bunt in the eighth inning. Rafters, as I mentioned, dropped a 4-and-4 on the season through eight games. Madison improves to 5-3 tonight here at the Duck Pond. We'll be back here tomorrow night, same time, same place, a 6:05 first pitch in Madison. You can catch us here on WFHR 10 to 12 minutes before the ballgame starts here on your home for Rafter baseball before Wisconsin Rapids returns home for three straight over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to tonight's presentation of Rafters baseball. They dropped the opener here in Madison by a score of 9-6. Until tomorrow night, I'm Andy Ockham signing off for now here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, or on the Civic Media app for WFHR, locally grown radio.
Destination marketing organizations are working to ensure Wisconsin tourism is stronger than ever. Their work boosts Wisconsin's economy, supports jobs, and improves our residents' quality of life. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Join the conversation with your...
Go yard this summer with cool cash rebates from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Right now you can...
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Coming politicians or, you know, school board representatives or whatnot, any type of running for election. We just had the 100 years of a really important act. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. The is it the Snyder Indian or the Indian Citizenship Act of 1924, which granted is, I guess, the right word. citizenship to Native people here living in the United States, which sounds pretty great. Oh, yeah, citizenship. But, you know, not everybody wanted to be citizens of the U.S. And you know, there were still laws on the books in various states as of 1957 that were written to prevent Native people from voting. You know, so this is not, it's not a surprise that this is one of those things that's like, oh, yeah, here we have this great gift for the Native people. And please note that my voice is dripping with sarcasm.
Right.
and, you know, not it didn't necessarily turn out that way, you know, and how long it took for Natives to get similar rights. I mean, whether it's actual access to the ballot, to being able to practice our traditional religions without fear of being prosecuted. I mean, that's a First Amendment right, and that didn't pass until, I believe, 1970s or 80s. I'm blanking right now because there was a lot of major legislation that passed around those two decades. Sure. But you know, it's wild to think about. You think that having citizenship is the end all be all, but you know, as we see getting rights kind of like trickled down until we get some semblance of the same rights, it's not super great.
Right. Well, and women as a whole got the right to vote right before Native Americans got the right to vote, right?
Yeah. Okay. I believe so.
Yeah. Well, and even back then, like when we would get, you know, the checks and stuff, we couldn't even take our own, they couldn't take their own checks and deposit that. Right. Cause we people were seeing, you know, Native Americans as incompetent to handle money and stuff like that.
Also, I'm pretty sure that it was illegal, or like it wasn't legal for a woman to have her own bank account that was not joint with her husband until the 70s.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, there seems to be a lot of patriarchy and colonialism surrounding banking.
Yeah, which, you know, we're just not used to, you know, coming from our matriarch societies in our Native communities, which, I mean, it reminds me of a statistic I was looking at here for this is coming from Indian Country Today. And it talks about the Native vote for 2024 by the numbers. And there are going to be 140 Indigenous candidates running for election in 2024 in a total of 23 states. And get this. So 58% identify as women and only 40% identify as men. So we do have more Indigenous women leaders that are currently stepping up to, you know, lead. And I think that says a lot about who we are.
Absolutely. And I think about, you know, even if you go back within the history of our tribe, the Ho-Chunk Nation, you know, if you look at the picture of the first business council, the first tribal chair was a woman, Helen Minor Miller. And And then in the 90s, when we changed our constitution and it formally changed from the Wisconsin Winnebago or the Winnebago of Wisconsin, and we changed to legally to the Ho-Chunk Nation and changed our whole governmental structure, our first president was Joanne Jones, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that our communities do, you know, respect the leadership of everybody, you know, to a certain extent. That's not to say that there aren't issues with patriarchy or sexism, but, you know, it isn't uncommon in our communities to see tribal legislators or council members or, you know, executives that are women, and that's kind of normal.
I think too, it brings up like some of our really, well, probably well-known leaders across Turtle Island that I think of, like Lieutenant Governor, Minnesota's Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and then Ho-Chunk, Sharice Davids, who is, she represents Kansas, right, and Congresswoman. And yeah, that's, I mean, two really big powerhouse leaders right there. And I want to get this out here too. This is from Illuminative, and there will be a streaming panel featuring those two, Rep. Sharice Davids and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, on Tuesday, June 11th at 9:45 a.m. And this conversation will be just talking about Native visibility and power building, and really just reflecting on how far that, how far they've come since 2018.
Yeah. I mean, Illuminative does such great work with advocacy and bringing out issues that are important to Indian country, especially to younger folks in Indian country. You know, it, and they're doing a really great job of engaging folks, Native and non-Native. You know, I get excited when some of my non-Native friends will see something posted, you know, by a group like Illuminative and send it to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know,
yeah, they're
and following, and
yeah, they're great.
Yeah So, and that should be a really great training, and anybody who is interested in any kind of organizing should kind of go and participate in that particular Zoom, or, you know, the presentation that they're doing, get an idea of what it's like to organize for change in your communities, and to know that we as Native people might do it a different way than other communities do. And that's also part, like we were talking about before, with like traditional knowledge, is we need to be able to do these things in ways that are authentic to our communities and not put in a, you know, just like a just one of those like boilerplate, you know, teams or yeah, boilerplate plans. Sorry, brain stopped working there for a second thinking about organizing. It's just so much to talk about.
Well, and a lot goes into it too. So, I mean, my mind would be totally, I mean, and we were just, that reminds me too, we were talking with Representative Heather Keeler. She represents one of our rural districts, but it's not like rural. It's kind of, you know, a bigger town of Moorhead, which is a little bit north of the Twin Cities here. And you know, we had in our House and Senate here at the end of this session here in Minnesota. I mean, it was, I don't know if you saw any of the videos, Arvina, but it was pretty rowdy and, you know, a little bit scary on how some people reacted in the other parties. I'll just say that. But I mean, the mental, I mean, I don't, the mental health and like taking care of yourself is got to be so important when you're in a position like that.
Oh, absolutely. And that is something that people are realizing more these days. When I first started working in politics, it was considered a badge of honor to have been hospitalized during like the last week or two of a campaign because you just pushed yourself so hard, your body just stopped working. And wow, that, you know, we thankfully have been moving away from that kind of thing and understanding, no, like this does not have to be everything you do all of your waking hours. You need to take care of yourself. You need to have your time to, you know, rest. And, you know, like the union folks said back in the day, 8 hours to work, 8 hours for like rest, and 8 hours to do with what you choose, you know, and it's wild that we have to remember that we need to take that time for ourselves, but we absolutely do. Otherwise your career in organizing and or politics will be short-lived, because
you're listening to locally grown radio WFHR.
CBS News Brief. A toddler is killed and his mother injured when a tornado in suburban Detroit sends a tree crashing into their Livonia home. In Maryland, emergency workers have been responding to reports of collapsed structures after a tornado was spotted in Montgomery County earlier. In Gaithersburg, a tornado went right over this man's car.
Whoa. Oh my God.
Triple-digit temperatures in portions of California, Arizona, and Nevada are sticking around. In Sacramento, it was graduation day at River City High School.
I got the snow cones because we're burning up in the stands right now.
Oh my gosh, it is so hot, and we are not used to this kind of heat.
Republicans in the Senate have blocked an effort by Democrats to codify the right to contraception into law. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer responds,
less than half of Americans in the 21st century are not sure they have the right to birth control.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Maxwell Anderson, the man charged with murdering and dismembering Sade Robinson, appeared in court on Wednesday. Robinson's family has filed a wrongful death civil suit. Anderson will remain in custody and is set to appear in court again in July. The Better Business Bureau has released a new online toolkit to help people recover from being scammed. Internet scams harm people financially and emotionally. The BBB cited research showing people feel angry, anxious, isolated, or ashamed after being scammed.
A lot of them don't even want to admit it to their close friends and family, and they feel so alone and like they're the only ones that have experienced it and don't realize that there's thousands upon thousands of people that have experienced the very same scam, let alone all of the different scams that are out there.
The online toolkit encourages people to report scams and share stories from fellow scam survivors. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. In already a famous actor but need even more attention news, Alec Baldwin has announced that he and his wife, Hilaria, will be front and center on a new reality show with their seven kids. The controversial 67-year-old actor and his 40-year-old wife are opening their home to camera crews from TLC for some reality. The show will be called The Baldwins. Most of these reality shows are pretty scripted, but if Baldwin punches one of the cameramen, we'll know it's real. Compared to other streaming services, HBO is still a decent deal with pretty good programming. Because of that, they will raise their prices for ad-free entertainment like other platforms. Warner Brothers Discovery says they will bump the price by $1 a month to $16.99 for programming without commercials. There are a ton of other plans you can choose from on HBO, and one is more confusing than the next. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwamba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise mostly clear and breezy for tonight, with lows in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, still breezy, high mid-60s. Mostly sunny and warmer on Friday, high in the lower 70s. Currently, it's 66.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to Wisconsin Women in Conservation. They're having a field day you need to know about. J.R. Radcliffe with sports and Brittany Merlot for weather and wine. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis. It's producer Haley Cherry, and I'm here with guest host Arvina Martin, stepping in for Robert Pilot. And Arvina is the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. Thanks again, Arvina, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So, I mean, we were just talking voter stuff in the last segment. And I mean, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on? I mean, I just want to remind our listeners out there that you were the first ever Native American elected to the City Council of Madison.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the big thing to there's a couple things that I want to kind of highlight. One is that, you know, there's a lot of Native people that don't want to get involved in elections or politics outside their tribe, because they say, you know, this is my government. And that is absolutely valid. I would just, you know, ask folks to think about, you know, the fact that you have an opportunity to elect people to work with your tribal governments, mm-hmm. you know, and having that opportunity to pick who your tribal governments are going to be working with is a really big deal. And you can help elect people that will work with tribes and that will respect, you know, tribal governments as peer governments to theirs, and will understand the issues that are important to us in our communities. The other thing I want to say is that this is going to be a really close election. You know, I think I was checking during the break, and I believe that Wisconsin was decided by about 15,000 votes. Like, that is not, my source here says in 2020 that the presidential election was decided on a margin less than 12,000 votes. And they also estimate there to be about 91,000 Native voters in Wisconsin. We can absolutely have it make a difference and show up on election day and you know, again, choose people that are going to work with our communities and work with our governments to make things better for all of us and to listen to us. And when we go out and vote, that is the ultimate, you know, feedback that we can give them, give to our elected officials, you know, the confidence to have them work for us, whether they're getting elected or reelected, or, you know, the ability to say, hey, nope, I don't think you're the guy. Those are the two big points about voting I like to mention. So
yeah. Well, when did the orange one get his all of his counts handed to him? That was this week, right?
Last week. Has no meaning. We know this.
Right.
It does seem like it was like yesterday, and you know, you can't be a felon and like our tribal elections, you can't be tribal president and be a felon, right?
Right. That's what I thought. And I had to like do some serious listening and some research on, I guess you can be a felon and run for federal government, which is, I mean, blows my mind, but
I feel like that is like one of the urban legends that we were all taught, like growing up. Oh, if you're a felon, you can't be president. Oh, yeah. George Washington chopped down a cherry tree. You know, like these old stories that everybody now is like, wait a second.
Yeah. It's like you grow up and they just change all the rules on you. You're like,
right.
What?
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping it's not a close election, but we'll wait and see, and we're going to keep doing the work.
Yep. And that's why we got to get out and make sure everybody does get out to vote. Because, you know, to be absolutely clear, the Democrats want more people to vote, you know, and Democrats are confident that when everybody goes to vote, Democrats win elections. You know, Republicans trying to get people to not vote, whether it is, you know, having people, you know, or shady organizations that are very loosely affiliated to, you know, sending things out saying, oh no, vote tomorrow or vote next week instead, or which you hear of from time to time. But, you know, or trying to slam mail-in voting or trying to actively take away, you know, places where people can get IDs so that they can go vote, making the ballot inaccessible, you know?
Yeah. Especially the whole inaccessible thing and like providing voting locations to indigenous peoples who live on the reservation, which, you know, most reservations are secluded or, you know, it takes, you know, it's a long drive to get into a town or a city where they're going to have voter polls.
I mean, and that is a problem that happens with rural folks all over the country, too, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not like if you live up north in Wisconsin, it's real easy to go get a new driver's license from the DMV because how far away is it, you know?
Right.
It's wild.
I like NACTI's saying, you've heard that, right? Make voting a tradition.
Oh, I like that too.
Bring your aunties, bring your gagas and your chokas, your grandmas and your grandpas, and get the whole family out there.
I have a picture of my daughter who was at the time, what, 2-3 months old, and going out to vote for Barack Obama and taking a picture with her. And being like, we voted today, you know, so she was just a little nugget, but
yeah, I remember when Barack Obama was elected. Like, I have the vivid memory of my mom waking me up, you know, after it was like, must've been late at night or something on a school night. Cause I was sleeping. And I just remember getting woken up and like celebrating, like it was, you know, a really big thing.
Yes. Yes. The other thing I want to mention about voting nostalgia is that I remember going when my parents would go to vote. And I have to say that I'm a little jealous that I never got to vote in those machines that where you had to like pull down a lever and you got to go into a booth that had like a curtain. And
oh, yeah,
it was
that.
All very like mysterious. And I thought it was illegal to tell people who you voted for.
Yeah, me too. Now that you say that, I have all these memories coming back. That's funny you bring that up, because the last election or what I just voted for, it was the same thing. I walked in there and, you know, everyone is like, there's no curtains. It's just not, people are very open about it now compared to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then, but we get stickers now too, which is pretty cool. And
yeah.
I save all my stickers. And, you know, we had the Ho-Chunk Nation ones that said, I believe it said I voted in Ho-Chunk. So like Hija Haicha, I believe is how you pronounce it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was pretty stoked about that.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, what else is going on? We've got Pride Month. What's going on? Are you doing anything for that? Does Wisconsin do a big Pride Fest?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. So Milwaukee does their Pride Fest. That's going to be starting up pretty soon. It's always a good time with a lot of speakers and the parade, performers, and just a lot of fun times. I've never had a bad time at Pride in Milwaukee. It's just positivity and happiness. And I know that there's going to be a lot more Pride events all over Wisconsin. Madison tends to do our Pride later in the summer and call it, I don't know if we still call it Fruit Fest, but that's what it used to be called. So Madison's will likely be later this summer. And, you know, it's kind of a nice start to festival season where you get to go out and listen to new musicians, local musicians, and see the like handicrafts and things that people make that your neighbors make. And it's kind of like going shopping at a powwow.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what it reminds me of too.
Yeah.
I mean, Minneapolis has Pride Fest at Loring Park this month, Saturday and Sunday, June 29th and 30th. And I know Native Roots Radio will be going live out there Saturday for 1 hour. And hopefully we're going to be having Dr. Stately come on and Robert Lilligren of NACTI. And then New Native Theater. I want to shout out New Native Theater. Will also be out there marching with us. We're all going to march together in really cute outfits, I'm sure. And then, but yeah, New Native Theater is, I believe this year, this is their third annual or maybe fourth. I can't remember. their two-spirit powwow that they host here.
I was going to ask about that. I've always wanted to go, and I've never been able to. When did you say? Did you say when it was? Or
do you mean Pride Fest here or the two-spirit powwow?
The two-spirit powwow. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. That'll be in July. So July 13th, if you're going to be around to travel.
Yeah. That would be super fun. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's awesome seeing, you know, more LGBTQ two-spirit representation in our events, and, you know, our media and arts and everything. And, you know, obviously I don't know about the traditions of all of our communities, but there's so many of our communities that have that respect for folks who are LGBTQ or two-spirited. And it makes me happy to see that there's so many people going back to those traditions, and knowing that hatred is not part of who we are, you know?
Right. Well, and like when we talk about it being, I know like people say, oh, it's so unnatural and this and that. But then when you look back on Native cultures and Native history and even just, you know, plants and things alive in nature with a spirit, I mean, this is showing up. It's not an anomaly, you know, it's very natural in a lot of species, actually. And I know we have a minute left here, but maybe when we come back, we can explain a little bit more for our listeners, because I always have to kind of redefine this term, but what two-spirit is.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. All right. Well, we're here with Arvina Martin, the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, and producer Haley Cherry, who's co-hosting today. And we're both filling in for Robert Pilot. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this quick break. Stay with us. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Dive into a world where tradition meets innovation, satire meets symbolism, and Native American art takes center stage. All My Relations Arts and the Native American Community Development Institute proudly unveil Alter Native by Frank Buffalo Hyde. Alter Native is an electrifying exhibition that uses satire to push boundaries and demand a closer look at the vibrant complexities of Native identity in today's world. So embrace the unexpected and challenge norms with Alter Native by Frank Buffalo Hyde, showing now at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Do you have a personal financial goal like buying a car, starting a business, saving for college, or investing for retirement? Whatever your goal is, you need a plan. It might seem overwhelming, but like physical fitness, you can gradually improve your financial health step by step. Start by creating a spending plan, improving your credit score, opening a bank account, or finding a trusted advisor. Not sure where to start? Visit mn.gov/commerce/money for more.
For the past decade, Four Sisters Farmers Market has been working to bring healthy and affordable food to Indigenous communities and surrounding neighborhoods. Join the celebration for opening day, June 6th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. They'll have over a dozen vendors, like the new Powwow Grounds food truck, Fry Bread Factory, and music by Afro-Indigenous artist James Harbin. Four Sisters Farmers Market in Minneapolis is opening on Thursday, June 6th, from 11 to 3. Discover more on their social media accounts.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Wow.
I never said it. I start making the noise and then I get self-conscious and I start laughing.
Oh no, Arvina, your wolf howl is great. Hey, I'm Haley. We're here with Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're just talking about, I don't know, kind of everything today. It's just the two of us Ho-Chunk women holding down the fort, and it's been really fun.
Absolutely. I'm super glad to be here, and I like it when we get our girl time.
I know. That's what I said yesterday on the show. I was like, Robert's like, you guys going to miss me? I'm like, well, of course, Dega. We're always going to need our host, you know, but the girl time is, you know, can't go without it.
It's kind of nice if I do so myself.
Yes. Okay. Well, we were talking about Pride because it's Pride Month. So want to wish everyone out there Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. And we're going to talk Two-Spirit because that's an Indigenous term that that we use, or some of us identifying as that use. And I don't know. What do you know about it?
As far as I know, the term Two-Spirit kind of came about like within the last 25-ish years, maybe. And as a way that to describe, you know, somebody who doesn't necessarily identify in the gender binary as straight, and see sexuality and gender perhaps more on a spectrum, and having it makes more sense in a Native worldview. But granted, just because of my rambling, you know, I don't know if this is all very apocryphal or if this is like based in fact, but that's kind of what I've heard.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great information. And I ask because I just think so many people, like, I get questions on it a lot. What is Two-Spirit? What does that mean? Is it only an Indigenous term? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And it is only an Indigenous term, and, you know, not to be appropriated with anyone else. But this is coming from Jerrica Fountain Designs on Instagram. And I had to save this because, I mean, really, this is a good definition, and however you want to define it, I feel like it varies, as I say. So Two-Spirit varies in what it refers to. The phrase coming from Anishinaabewoan term Nees Manidubong. Sorry, I'm not Ojibwe, so I probably did not pronounce that right. But that directly translates to two spirits. And the initial intent in coining the term was to differentiate Indigenous concepts of gender and sexuality. So pretty much, you know what you said. And they're saying it's used to describe Native people who fulfill a traditional third gender, Indigenous people who identify as having both a masculine and a feminine spirit, describe Indigenous gender identities, and use an umbrella term for queer Indigenous people. Two-Spirit is commonly used as an umbrella term for various identities, but it is ultimately a pan-Native term, meaning it exclusively refers to Indigenous people. So I think, you know, that's a great definition and hopefully provides, you know, whoever needs it with a little bit more knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a musician who is a straight white guy. No, he's not straight. I apologize. No, a musician who was white, who described himself, I think maybe even in a Rolling Stone article, as Two-Spirit. And boy, I can't remember what his name is. He's somebody that is like, you know, very inoffensive and like nobody expects would ever have a scandal. But appropriated this identity that was not his to take. And, you know, I think he very publicly learned a lesson about appropriation. In the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's important to talk about it and kind of educate people in a friendly way about what that is. I also want to mention too, on our last segment with, you know, a few minutes left here, tomorrow in Minneapolis is NACD, Native American Community Development Institute. Their Four Sisters Farmers Market opens back up, which is, you know, it's just a huge event that goes on all throughout the summer in June and goes throughout the October months here. It takes place on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. The exact address is 1414 East Franklin Avenue. But, you know, the Four Sisters Farmers Market is just amazing. I want to give a shout out to Destiny Jones, who is a Ho-Chunk, and she comes from the Funmaker family. She is running that market, and she's doing an amazing job at it. And opening day is tomorrow, June 6th, from 11 to 3 p.m. Myself and Robert will be there, as we usually are every Thursday. But it's a fun place to be seen. And I mean, really, you run into so many people that work in the Native community, and it's just a really great time. Hopefully you, when you're in town, hopefully Arvina, you
what
can.
Does the farmer's market happen again?
Every Thursday at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis.
Okay. I'm going to have to like put that into my considerations. I wish we had something similar in Madison. It sounds like, you know, a great place to do the shopping that you need to do. So like getting some errands done, but then you also get to, you know, build community and reinforce those bonds with the people that you know and care about. And, you know, how lovely.
It is. I actually have been like waiting all year for this to kick back up. So I'm actually really excited. And it's just a great place to, you know, hang out with your friends and be outside. It takes place outside. So usually it's rain or shine, but I mean, there's Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, which is right there too, which is kind of like the little cafe that everyone comes to when they come to the Minneapolis area from out of state. And of course, NACDI's offices are there. So the whole NACDI crew is there and it's fun. There's healthy food vendors. We're going to be vending there with Native Roots Arts once a month. So we'll come out and get some cool t-shirts and hats.
Oh, I saw that. Bring your ass hat.
Oh yeah, the bring your ass. That is from our printer company that we use. They were really hot on getting those out right away.
Those are hilarious.
Yeah, I know, right? Too bad the wolves. I mean, what an ending, but they came so far.
Yeah, I mean, get that far is pretty great. So Bucks didn't get that far. So way to go, T-Wolves. Do you guys call them T-Wolves? Or did I just make that up?
No, T-Wolves, that's a big, yeah, that's something we say for sure.
Okay.
I also want to mention, too, Red Lake Nation Tribal College's Minneapolis campus is having their grand opening tomorrow, Thursday, June 6th from 2 to 4 p.m. So I'm imagining that is pretty close. I got the direct, or I thought I had the direct address, but come hang out at the farmer's market and then head over to the opening. I know Representative Heather Keeler will be speaking and sharing a few words. So, I mean, I've seen a few pictures in the college. It's just a very urban environment and it's beautiful. It overlooks the skyline and everything.
Oh, how cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, we have, you know, about 2 minutes left. Arvina, is there anything else that you wanted to get out to our listeners? Again, I just want to say a big Kina Gigi for coming on.
Yes, today. Thank you for having me. If you are interested in learning a little bit more about the American Indian or the Indian Citizenship Act and the 100th anniversary, the WISDEMS are doing a presentation at 6:30. If you look it up, I don't have the link on me.
I could post it. I'll post it in our show's Facebook comments. Awesome.
Yeah, so it's starting in half an hour. So if you are not in the Twin Cities to go to the Medicaid conversation, you should definitely come and listen to us talk about the ramifications of the American Citizenship Act.
Definitely. Yeah, it's important stuff to know. So thanks again, Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, for being here. I am producer Haley Cherry, and I've been co-hosting, and it's been so fun. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles joins me to talk about the best kids shows, Summerfest and Ferris Bueller. And I play some highlights from my visit to a recent Bigfoot convention.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.